Well, good morning and welcome to Victory Baptist Church and to those who are joining us online as well. It's good to have you here in this place and online, and so we're looking forward to a good time together this morning as we study the Word of God and as we lift our voices to sing together. First of all, we're going to take our Bibles, so if you have your Bible there, let's go to Revelation chapter 1 for our scripture reading this morning. Revelation chapter 1, and we're going to be reading beginning with verse 4 down through verse number 8. Revelation chapter 1, beginning with verse number 4. And let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. The Bible says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. And then would you join me on verse 8? Verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Now, we're going to be continuing in our series here in the book of Revelation, the revelation of God, seeing Jesus as he truly is. We read the scripture here this morning, beginning with verse 4, where John is sharing these introductory words, these words that the Holy Spirit was giving him, that the Lord Jesus was giving to him. We saw last week some of this introduction already. We went through the vision John saw later on in chapter 1, the vision that John saw of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, just reminding you of this little simple outline of chapter 1, we have the introduction, which we're going to be looking at in more detail today, and then, of course, the occasion, which we looked at last week, John being banished on the island of Patmos, and then the vision there, which we also looked at last week. So diving into this introduction, and this introduction is a very important introduction because it introduces us to many of the qualities of who Jesus is. In fact, I have listed seven that are identified here in this passage. As John testifies about Jesus, he begins, first of all, with the disposition that God has towards his people. The disposition that God has towards his people, which is found in verse 4. It says, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come. And so from the triune God, the three parts of the Trinity are mentioned here, for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, with the main focus being on God the Son, Jesus Christ, which begins here in verse 5, talking about many of the qualities of who Jesus truly is. All right, so let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll dive into verse 5. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to open your word, your holy word, your faithful word, a word that can be trusted through and through. Lord, there are so many things we cannot trust in this world. There's so many written things. There's so many social media posts. There's so many different speakers and talkers that say things, but they do not have the authority of God Almighty and his inerrancy in delivery. Father, your word is faithful. And I pray that you'd help us to recognize the faithfulness of the scriptures and the faithfulness of your Son,
Jesus. Lord, as we look at these things that are divinely recorded here through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I pray that our hearts would be stirred. I pray that you would meet needs in our lives. Lord, I thank you for everyone gathered here. I thank you for the opportunity that this is. And Lord, I seek you for your help, that I might say what you want, Lord, that you might open our understanding, that you would accomplish your will, that the Spirit of God would have liberty. Oh, Spirit of God, please work. We need a revival, Lord, in our land. We need to see the Lord Jesus as he truly is. Father, I pray that you would begin here in our hearts, in my heart, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Seeing Jesus as he truly is. Notice here in verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, that's the grace and the peace coming, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. Jesus, who is the faithful witness. We saw last week the faithful witness of Jesus. He is absolutely trustworthy. There is no error in his word, in his words. It can be trusted through and through, from the smallest part of what Jesus said to the greater part of what he said. It is faithful. And so, as John testifies about Jesus, he says, Jesus, faithful witness. Jesus, faithful witness. No one is more trustworthy. You know, whether it's the news you listen to, you're like, well, you know, you get this perspective, that perspective, sometimes on a certain event, it's misleading. In fact, many times there's dishonesty. There's an incorrect slant being put on reports. But you know what? When we get a report from Jesus, when we read about what has happened and how the world came to be and who we are and how precious every life is, we find that God's word is impartial and it is a faithful testimony. Jesus is a faithful witness. Are we giving our attention to his holy word like we should? And so I want to encourage you to give your attention to Jesus, the faithful witness. Revelation chapter 3, we'll just notice here in chapter 3 in verse 14. Revelation 3, verse 14. The Bible says, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. So here, as the Lord is writing to the churches. In this letter to the Laodiceans, he tells John to write these things. In the middle of verse 14, he says, these things saith the, what's the next one? Next word. Amen. These things saith the Amen. I mean, this is the affirmative. This is the let it be. This is the one who speaks and it is done. And he says, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. It's talking about Jesus here. As Jesus speaks to the churches, he is the faithful and true witness. He is the Amen. I'll tell you what, every word of Jesus is Amen, and yes, in him it is. His word goes. His word is good. He is a faithful witness. I'd also like you to notice, secondly, Jesus is the first begotten. The first begotten. We saw this last week as well, that it says here in verse 5, not only is Jesus the faithful witness in chapter 1, verse 5, but it says, and the first begotten of the dead. As we mentioned, there have been several people raised from the dead. Jesus raised several, and even in the Old Testament scripture, there's the record of the prophets raising people from the dead. But you know what? Jesus is the first begotten. None of those, whether it be Lazarus or any other, that defeated death itself, all of those were raised to only die again. But Jesus was raised to die no more. Jesus was raised in defeat of death and sin and hell. In fact, the Bible says he holds the keys of death and hell. Notice over here in verse 18, Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, Jesus says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. You want to know who's in control? Jesus is. He's allowed much freedom, much opportunity for mankind to make choices, to make decisions. Absolutely, he has. But ultimately, he has the first word, and he will have the last. He is the first begotten, the victor over death itself. The aspect of first begotten also implies there is more to follow. And we, by faith in Jesus, take part in the life and the victory that Jesus had. You want to know how to have victory over sin? I'll tell you what, it's through Jesus. It's not just me having the victory of Jesus by his death on the cross and my salvation, but his death on the cross is also my victory for daily life. As I walk with Jesus, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The key to victory in the Christian life is Jesus. The Christian life cannot be lived without him. He is the life. He is the life of the Christian life. And we must always remember that. It doesn't matter how seasoned of a Christian we are or how new a believer we are, Jesus is the life. And so we see the testimony John gives by the Holy Spirit. Jesus, the faithful witness. Jesus, secondly, the first begotten. And Jesus, number three, the Prince of Kings. We looked at this last week, the Prince of Kings. The word prince means chief or ruler over. Jesus is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Revelation 19, verse number 16 says, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus is the Prince of Kings. And notice now, in the last part of verse 5, not only is Jesus the faithful witness, not only the first begotten of the dead, not only the Prince of the Kings of the earth, but it says now, would you read with me in the middle of verse 5? You find your scripture there. Notice what it says, beginning with unto him. Let's go, all right? Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. To him that loved us. Think about this for just a moment. His love. Unto him that loved us. I mean, here's the God of all the universe. The one who spoke the world into being. Unto him that loved us. I'll tell you what. If you've ever been loved by anyone, you've been loved by Jesus. Jesus loves you. He cares about you. You've never been so loved. And the Bible makes that clear throughout, but we can see it in this testimony about Jesus. The love he has for people, the love he has for sinners. Notice the sin being mentioned here. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And so we notice here, Jesus, loving Redeemer. Jesus, loving Redeemer. You know, the word redeem or redeemer has the idea of a price needing to be paid, a price that needs to be paid. Jesus paid the price so that we could be saved. Our sin debt could not justly be cleared without the debt being paid, right? It's not just that it was written off the book, says, okay, we won't deal with these issues. We'll just, you know, erase them. No, that's not what happened. It's not just a legal act of just, you know, ignoring the debt. The debt was satisfied. Jesus paid that price, and the scripture says very clearly what that price was. It was his blood. He washed us from our sins in his own blood. What a personal Savior. Here's the love of our Savior, who was willing to lay down his life for me and for you. You know, a God like this, a God who cares that much for me, is a God worth living for, right? It's a God worth not just saying, okay, thank you very much. I'm glad that I, you know, am washed from my sins, and now I'm just going to go out and live my life the way I want, right? No. The incredible, the amazing love that God has for us and the price he paid to purchase us back from damnation is enough for me to live for Jesus. The love of Christ, Paul said, constraineth us. Jesus gave his life. And so, Jesus, loving Redeemer, we have the testimony here. Not only Jesus, faithful witness, not only Jesus, first begotten, not only Jesus, the Prince of the Kings of the earth, but Jesus, the loving Redeemer that purchased us with his own blood. What an amazing thing. Now notice verse 6. It continues in the same sentence here, talking about his love and how he redeemed us. But verse 6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He hath made us kings and priests. You know, as I thought about this, trying to break it down and identify the different aspects, I thought, you know, Jesus, and especially since it's the same sentence that talks about his love in verse 5 there, unto him that loved us, talking about washing us from our sins in his own blood, but then it says he made us kings and priests. You see, Jesus is not just our loving Redeemer, but get this, he is our loving Master. He's our loving Master. You know, he's placed us in his kingdom. Notice your scripture again there, verse 6. And hath made us kings and priests. I'm a king in Jesus. He's given me. What is a king? A king has opportunity, a responsibility in a kingdom. Well, it's not my kingdom, it's his kingdom. But God has, Jesus Christ has placed us as persons with responsibility and authority in his kingdom. We're placed into the eternal kingdom. Kings unto God, entrusted with responsibility to rule in God's realm. And also, when we think about priests, what is a priest? Well, a priest is a sacred minister of God, speaking of the Old Testament priests, right? It was ordained of God. The Bible teaches us that in Jesus, we today have the individual priesthood of every believer. If you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have direct access to God. You don't have to go through some other man or some, you don't have to confess your sins to someone else and then they ask God for forgiveness for you or something like that. No, we have the individual priesthood of every believer, the Bible teaches. He has made us priests. A priest is a sacred minister of God. Let me tell you, friend, there is no better master to serve than Jesus. Remember his love. He's the loving master. The loving master. You could never find a better, more gentle, more faithful master to serve. Master to thrust your life on than Jesus. I'll tell you what, there's been many masters, but none like Jesus. There's been many who wielded their authority or their power with cruelty, but none so kind as Jesus. He is a loving master. And you know what? Those of us who have been brought into his kingdom by our faith in Christ. Those of us who've been washed of our sins, purchased with his blood. Those of us who have the opportunity now to serve him on this earth. I'll tell you what, life is short. Earth goes, our time on this earth goes so fast. Are you going to live for Jesus? You know what? Eternity is on the horizon. The end of the earth is on the horizon. We are indeed in the last days. Now, of course, there's the 1,000 years yet of the rule of Christ on this earth that's coming after the 7 years of tribulation, which is coming first. But you know what? And the return of Jesus first for his own. But you know what? Those days are ever nearer. They are nearer. Oh yes, they were near in John's day, but they're ever nearer now. He will return. Are we honoring Jesus as our master now? Jesus said to some folks, he said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Right? It's not enough for us to just say, "Oh yeah, Jesus is my master," but then we follow our flesh, we follow our own heart. We must submit to the master. Jesus said, listen to these words. Jesus said, "Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." That's a direct quote from John 12:26. John 12:26. "If any man serve me," Jesus said, "him will my Father honor." You put God first. You surrender to him. I'll tell you who we should be bowing the knee to. It's Jesus Christ as a loving master, as the King of Kings. Wow. No greater one to serve. Go over to Revelation chapter 21, if you would. Revelation chapter 21. We're going to look at verse 5. Revelation 21, beginning with verse number 5. It says, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things." Think about that. The words of God here. Verse 7, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." The Lord is talking about our relationship, him to us to him. He our Father. You can see the love, the relationship. This is not an indifferent, self-serving master. This is a master who cares for those who are in his fold. He is the good shepherd who leads by example, who's given his life for the sheep. God is good. As we continue looking at the different pictures, different aspects that the Holy Spirit gives us in his word here through the Apostle John. In chapter 1, Revelation chapter 1, once again, not only is Jesus our loving Redeemer, not only is he our loving Master, having made us kings and priests, but I want you to notice the last part of verse 6. Last part of verse 6. It says, "To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I want you to notice here that Jesus is not just a loving master, but he's the glorious eternal Lord. He's the glorious eternal Lord. My friend, the adoration of heaven will not be the streets of gold. It will not be the pearls on the gates. It will be Jesus. Jesus. He's the glorious eternal Lord. To him be dominion forever and ever. And you know what? He will reign forever and ever. You know who controls eternity? Jesus. Do you know who's worthy to control eternity? Jesus. The great wonder of heaven, Jesus. Please turn your Bible to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. And please just listen as I share the words of the Holy Scripture here. Revelation 5. In this instance, John, we're speeding forward, of course, several chapters, and John, in what he sees, has now been caught up to heaven, and John is actually seeing a preview of what's happening in heaven, or what will happen one day in heaven. And here we find a very special book that is seen here in heaven. It's a scroll, actually. It's rolled up, an old scroll. It's a legal document. And it's rolled up and it's sealed with wax at different points. You know, as it was rolled, sealed with wax so that it could only be opened to that far. And then rolled more, sealed again. Rolled more, sealed again. Rolled more until seven seals sealed this document. It is a legal document. It is a mysterious document. It's a document that shares the righteous decree of God against earth or upon earth. And so keep that in mind, this scroll that's sealed with all of these seals, these seven seals. And now I'll read chapter 5 of Revelation, beginning with verse 1. Think about Jesus, though, because we're talking about Jesus, glorious eternal Lord. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And so we see the exchange between God the Father, who's seated on the throne, and Jesus, the Lamb, who was slain. Verse 7 there, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts, these four living creatures who just spend their time serving and praising God, these four beasts and the 24 elders, I believe picturing the Old Testament believers and the New Testament believers. In other words, I will be here, you will be here if you know Jesus. Verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred." I'll tell you what, salvation is no respecter of persons. Every kindred, every tongue, every and people and nation. And has made us unto our God, listen at this again, kings and priests. It's talking about the believers. It's talking about you and me. I will be here. Kings and priests, middle of verse 10. And we shall reign on the earth. It's talking about the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And verse 11, "And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb," that's Jesus, "forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever." You see, the glory of heaven, the adoration of heaven will be Jesus. He is the worthy one in this situation which is yet to come. This unique, this mysterious legal document, this scroll that's sealed and will be opened through the book of Revelation, which details the righteous judgment of God on earth, on those who are wicked and vile. No one was found worthy but one. All heaven was searched, all the earth was searched, and none was found worthy but one, Jesus. You see, he is the glorious eternal Lord, the glorious eternal Lord. Oh, when you think about Jesus, I just wrote down, you know, this isn't an exhaustive list, but I just wrote down mostly off the top of my head some of the things about Jesus, some of the phrases the Bible uses to describe him. Friend of sinners, Rose of Sharon, Lily of the Valley, Bright and Morning Star, Prince of Life, Man of Sorrows, Merciful High Priest, Savior of the World, Head of the Church, Lion of Judah, Lamb of God, Creator of all things, the Word of God, the Great I Am, the Light of the World, the Son of Man, the Son of God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Judge of all the earth, Risen and Coming King. And Thomas said, My Lord and my God. Jesus, glorious, eternal Lord. Oh, my friend, do you know my Jesus? Do you know my Lord? Now we come to the seventh characteristic that John mentions. Over here in Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Notice what the scripture says. This is in verse 7 now. We continue verse 7. The Bible says, Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. The word amen means let it be. Even so, let it be. You see, Jesus is not just the loving Savior, but he's the soon coming righteous judge. You see, Jesus is someone to be feared. Oh, he has loved us with an everlasting love, but he is righteous and holy, and he is the judge of all the earth, and he's a righteous judge. And he comes in judgment to this earth. Oh, his first coming, he came not to condemn, John 3 says, verse 16, 17, 18. He came not to condemn. He came to save those who were condemned. Jesus came to lay down his life for the sheep that had gone astray, for the lost ones who were dead in sins, right? But I'll tell you what, for those who have not put their faith in Jesus, for those who have rejected him, for those who've pushed back on him, it's not good. It's not good. For Jesus is a righteous judge. And while he is a merciful Savior, a great loving God, and a wonderful Master, he is righteous and holy, and he will judge rightly. Jesus, soon coming righteous judge. Notice the scripture there again. It says, behold, he cometh with clouds. Now, this is talking about referencing the second coming of Christ. In other words, not the rapture where he comes secretly, okay? But the second coming where he comes to set things straight on earth, where he comes to rule and reign in righteousness and set up his earthly kingdom. And so, he will rule with a rod of iron. And notice the response that John indicates here. All kindreds of the earth shall wail. Wail is not a good thing. Wail isn't excitement. Wail is a horrible, horrible cry. And the Bible says they'll wail because of him, because of Jesus. Oh, my friend, do you know my Jesus? Make peace with God. We need to accept him while it is time. While it is called today. Harden not your heart, the Bible says. Today is the day to come to Jesus. For time's sake, we'll have to come back to this. But he is the soon coming righteous judge. And he will set things straight. And we will give account. And especially referring to the lost, to those who have not trusted, those who have rejected Jesus. It's a sober thing. The Bible speaks much about hell. Hell is a real place. Jesus defeated hell and death. But you know what? The Bible tells us in the last of Revelation that those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life are cast into the lake of fire. Hell is a real place that the faithful witness talks about. It is a place to be avoided at all costs. Jesus said if it were possible, he wasn't saying this is the way, but if it were possible for you to avoid hell by plucking out an eye that was causing you to lust or cutting off an arm that you were stealing with, he said it would be better to go into life without that eye, without that arm, than to enter into hell. Jesus is the way of salvation. Wow. There's more here that we need to talk about. But my friend, do you know the Lord Jesus? You see, there's many different aspects to the Lord Jesus. He's not just a loving Savior, although he is, and he is it. I mean, he's the only way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the only hope. But Jesus is also the righteous judge. And he will hold men accountable. And that's why it's so important that we make peace with God, because he desires to make peace with every man. You'll find no greater master to yield your life to. You'll find no other Savior who can save. It's a privilege to know Jesus. It's a privilege to live for Jesus.